want to turn your thoughts in this portion of Scripture that we have read to verse 17. And that verse says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." And I particularly want us to consider here the aspect of divine love that is mentioned in this portion. You will see that clause that is in that verse, "But thou hast in love to my soul." And that is what we want to dwell upon. This section of this chapter can be rightly entitled Hezekiah's Testimony. It is his written testimony. If we go back to where we commenced our reading at verse 9, it says, "The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah." So he wanted to write this testimony down and preserve it for posterity, that others would read it as he gave testimony to the mercies of God and the goodness of God to him. It is a testimony that was given after the Lord had so miraculously intervened and spared his life after his sickness. Verse 9 also tells us that he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. And as we know, the Lord had added on to him 15 years. He was initially told that he was going to die, but he prayed, and the Lord graciously heard the prayer of Hezekiah, and he had 15 years added on to his life. And here he is giving testimony then to the Lord, writing it down that others might be able to read in time to come. And how important it is that we have a testimony, that we can say certain things of what the Lord has done for us, and that we have a testimony, most importantly, that we know the Lord and that we're on our way to glory, and one day we will be with him for all of eternity to come. I want to point out some things here with regards to this thought of divine love. First of all, I want you to consider that the experience of divine love leads to peace with God. The king here says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul." So he speaks here about a bitterness that was in his life and in his soul. And as we have indicated, that was the sickness and that particular trial that he had come through when he heard those words. And wouldn't anyone feel bitterness of soul and feel discouraged and downcast if you were told that you were going to die and not live, and you had only hours or moments just to live, even days? Well, that's what Hezekiah was told. But he cried on to the Lord, and the Lord was gracious to him, and now he's able to testify that he has a peace in his soul. And that does underscore the point indeed that the experience of divine love leads to peace with God. When we come to experience the peace of God, it is a reconciling peace. It brings us back into that place of communion and fellowship with God, because by nature we are estranged from God. We know not God. Our sins have separated between us and God. And therefore we need to be reconciled unto God. And as we experience divine love, that's what it brings us into. It brings us into this experience of peace. A peace that passeth understanding is how the scripture tells us. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, it tells us there, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There's a peace that passeth understanding. It's the peace of God. It's a peace that is inexplainable to many as they look on. Those who are unconverted look on at a Christian often, maybe even going through trials and troubles, and they have a peace. A peace amidst the storm. They can be suffering in life, they can be reproached, they can be persecuted, and yet they have a peace with God. And all the time while they have tribulation in this world, there's a peace that reigns in their heart, and that peace comes from the experience of divine love. And we'll never know that peace until we too are reconciled unto God through the experience of divine love. And may we indeed know something of that in our own lives, peace with God. Do you have that peace? Can you testify to that today? If you were called upon to give your testimony, could you be able to say, "I have a peace with God. I've got the peace of God in my heart. I'm reconciled to him"? Well, Hezekiah certainly could do that. The second thing I want you to consider here is that divine love delivers sinners from the pit of corruption. This is something else that the king here testifies to in this verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. So here's what divine love has done. Love for his soul has delivered this man from the pit of corruption. Now the pit there is a reference to the grave and ultimately to hell itself. If we apply the law of the first mention in Scripture to this particular term, then that will take us back to Numbers chapter 16 and verse 30. And it's referring there to Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And it says, if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then shall ye understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And again, verse 33 of Numbers 16 says, they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. It's more than just death that is being referenced there. Something beyond death. There's a bottomless pit. It's one thing to go down into the grave. We all will go down into the grave as the Lord tarries. But what is it to go down into the pit? What is it to go down into the bottomless pit? And the Scripture speaks of that in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 2. It says, he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun on the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So it's more than just the grave here that Hezekiah is thinking of. The Lord has just not delivered him from death. That is very true. The Lord added on 15 years unto his life. But the Lord has done more than that. The Lord has delivered this man from going down into the bottomless pit. And he has done it because of love for his soul. And what a glorious experience that is, when we know what it is to being delivered from going down into the pit and that we're on our way to glory. What a testimony to have. And you can have that testimony that you're on your way to glory, that you've been delivered. These words are not just unique to Hezekiah and only apply to him. These can be the portion of any one of us today. We can take these words, and if we know Christ and we've come to the experience of salvation, then we can say this, this is my testimony. I've been delivered from going down into the pit out of love, out of divine love for my soul. What a testimony. What a thing to give thanks for. To be able to testify of deliverance from the pit of corruption. What an awful place that pit is. As you read of it in the Scriptures, what an awful place that is. It's a place of torment. It's a place of torment. And to be delivered from the place of torment, what a blessing. To be on our way to glory, that place of bliss and joy and endless happiness, what a glorious testimony to have. And may that indeed be the testimony that we could give, whether it's oral or whether it's written, as the king's was here. May we have such a testimony. I want you, thirdly, to consider here that divine love provides a ransom so that sinners can be delivered from the pit of corruption. Because the obvious question ought to be asked, well, how does this come about? How does it come about through divine love that an individual is delivered from the pit of corruption? Well, the king doesn't leave us here in a position where we're lost and we don't understand. Because we can ponder this for a moment and look at other scriptures and see what God has said elsewhere in his word. Because there is a means by which we're delivered from going down into the pit. Yes, it begins with divine love for our souls, but it also includes something else that's very important, and that is a ransom. A ransom has to be paid. We can go over to Job and to chapter 33 and verse 24, and it says there, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. My friend, you and I cannot ever escape going down into the pit unless a ransom is provided. You see, there is a debt that we owe. It is the debt of our sins. Sin is a debt that we owe to the justice of God. And unless that debt is paid and justice is satisfied, then you and I cannot escape going down to the pit. And yes, it begins with the divine love of God for a sinner's soul, but it manifests itself in the sending of his Son into this world and his Son going to the cross in order to provide that ransom, because there is no other way whereby our souls can be delivered from going down to the pit. A ransom is absolutely required. It's not something that's just nice to have. It's not something, that it would be beneficial to have. Here is something that is absolutely essential. We must have a ransom. Here are the terms upon which you will be delivered, and I will be delivered from going down into the pit. Someone must provide a ransom that satisfies divine justice. And that can only happen through Jesus Christ, God's own dear Son. As he went to the cross, and as he hung upon that cross. And again, we can turn to Scripture elsewhere and see that point proved. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, here's what it says: "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." Who gave himself a ransom. Here's the ransom that is required. So Hezekiah testifies that he has been delivered from going down into the pit. Job tells us that you can only be delivered by a ransom. Paul, writing to Timothy there in 1 Timothy 2, tells us that Christ has given himself the ransom. And surely it's easy then to put that all together and to realize simply today that if we're ever to be delivered from going down into the pit, it has to be through Christ's ransom. It has to be through Christ's ransom. There is no other way. And unless you and I come and avail of that ransom, then we will perish. We will go down into the pit. But if we come to Christ, if we cry unto the Lord, and we can take Hezekiah as an example of that, because it tells us that he cried unto the Lord. Well, if you and I cry unto the Lord for mercy, the Lord will deliver our souls, and he will do it on the grounds of that atoning work of Christ, the ransom that Christ has provided. He provided himself as a ransom. He was the ransom. He satisfied divine justice. He made the payment to cancel out the debt of sin. And therefore there is today a ransom that is provided. And that brings me on to one final thought that I want to leave with you, and that's the end of the verse. And it is this: that divine love in providing a ransom will cast our sins behind God's back. Divine love in providing a ransom will cast our sins behind God's back. Because the king goes on to say that there at the end of verse 17, "For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." It's not that the king is trying to hide his sins and cover them up. That's a useless thing to do. Our attempts to cover our sins will not work. God will expose them. He will soon uncover our sins. What we need is God himself to cover our sins and to cast them behind his back. And that's what the king is here testifying of. And I wonder today, do you have a testimony like that, my friend? Oh, not a testimony that you're trying to cover your own sins, play them down, hide them from view. But no, you can say, God has cast all my sins behind his back. Because he's provided a ransom, because I'm trusting in his dear Son, he has cast all my sins behind his back. And if they're behind his back, then he will not see them. That's the whole sense of that, because there is the thought of favor that is here in Isaiah chapter 59. You see that brought out. Verse 2, it says, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, but he will not hear." Your sins have hid his face. If our sins are before God, then God's going to have to turn away and he can't bestow his favor on us. But if our sins are dealt with through the ransom of God's own dear Son, then they're cast behind God's back. Then they're gone forever. gone and gone forever. That's what the king is saying here. Hezekiah is testifying. He's writing it down, and he's writing it down for posterity. He wants others to read. Even when he's dead and gone, he still wants others to read, as you and I are this very day. He wants us to read of his testimony, where he says, God has cast all my sins behind his back. That's the testimony that every one of us need to have. And unless you have that testimony, and until you have that testimony, do not rest. Do not rest. Flee to Christ. Flee to Christ. There's one who loves your soul, one who's willing to cast your sins behind his back. He's willing to forgive when you call upon him and seek him. Then you too can have that testimony, just as Hezekiah had. What a testimony to divine love. I trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. We're just going to bow together in prayer and come to a close. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou would bless thy word and write it upon our hearts. As we have considered it and pondered divine love and what the experience of it does in the heart of an individual, Lord, give us a testimony like King Hezekiah. May we be able to write it down and say that it's of a truth with regards to us. Our sins are gone, gone forever. They've been cast behind thy back. Bless thy word. Bless each one who has been listening. Meet them at the very point of their need. For we pray this day in the Saviour's worthy name. Amen.